Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Rate, review, subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Like, subscribe, do that fun stuff. Joining me today, Katie Heindel, talented writer. Listen and read Basketball Feelings, right? I was about to say watch. I'm like, well, I'm not sure she can watch, but actually, but listen, listen to Basketball Feelings. Mm-hmm. Katie, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. Yeah, I'm doing good. Very busy. Yes. I feel like you picked a perfect opportunity to like to take this moment and then look back and really appreciate the time that's passed. I don't think we do this enough.
No, and it is that time of the season where we look back at the year that was, because we're in December now. Wow, that's crazy.
the month and change that was, not the year that was.
Yeah, no, but it's true.
Oh, you mean for like Yeah.
I was going bigger picture those. On you. Sorry. I was going.
Sorry. Yeah. I was like, your Spotify wrapped brain. And I was like, the basketball season.
That may have been why I did that, actually, because of the Spotify wrapped playlist that I keep on seeing on Twitter and when people keep on sharing them. Like, I don't really use Spotify. I'm more of an Apple guy. Ew.
Fair. But
that's me. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah. So with Katie, I mean, this is supposed to be like a, you know, 20-ish game check-in to the Toronto Raptors and the season that has been, but it's hard to do it with this team because they've been so injured and they've been decimated by injuries throughout this first quarter of the season. But we do it anyways. Mm-hmm. We just keep this in the back burner that a lot of these things, it's just hard to make like some real observations about this team, or at least things that determine who they are, because we haven't seen Otto Porter Jr. He's like a part-time player. At this stage, Preston Chew has been gone for a while. Pascal was gone. There's just been a lot of things happening, but here the Raptors are. I think we're 21 games in, and they're at 500. The Pelicans game sucked. Was awful, like absolutely awful. Thought, oh, okay, CJ, Brandon Ingram not playing. This could be a game where you win because Zion's still there. JV's there. You know, he had a nice game. But this should be a win, and here we are. Wow, that sucked. That sucked. But these games happen, you know, that 10, 10, and 60 rule. You know, you have 10 games where you win that you're just going to win because you shoot so well. 10 games where just are going to go terribly because you just sucked and the schedules is whatever and things just going to kind of happen. And then the other 60 is where you kind of make or break your season. So that's what that Pelicans game was in my book. It was one of those 10.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. It's an OL game. It's a game I don't feel so bad. Letting Zion have some accolades, you know, everybody's always dumping on that guy. So I don't mind it. You know, we can be the bigger team if we're going to give him that stage to shine on. Sure.
Before the recording, I had said to you that it's hard to make OG and Anobi look small, but Zion actually makes OG look small. The man's a freak. We've forgotten almost, but he is an actual freak. Wow.
Everybody loves to feel small sometimes too. You don't always like to be, oh, this guy's the biggest player on the team. Maybe OG liked not feeling like the most gigantic dude out there for once. You never know.
And that's why he refuted the report that he was 250 pounds. He's like, no, I'm not.
Yes.
I am 230. Well, he didn't actually say the number because he said that's his personal business, and it is. But he definitely said that I am not 250 pounds. That stemmed from a pregame roster stat that showed that, you know, all the weights and the players, and it said, you know, 250 for OG. Everyone's just like, what? How'd that happen?
Sometimes I wonder if those get thrown in just to make sure everybody's paid attention.
That's true.
I don't know. You know?
That's what it is.
Like
that's
reading those box score sheets. What? Wait, yeah. What? Yeah, no. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So, Katie, with you, as you know, because I told you before we recorded the podcast or started to suggest recording the podcast. Observations from the first 20 games, some stats, some just like thoughts. And yeah. I'll let you go with the first one. I got a couple here, but you can start us off with whatever comes to mind, whatever you want to start with.
I mean, this came to mind for me when I was like, okay, I got to think about what has kind of led in terms of a theme, perhaps for the last like 21 games. Yes. And I was a little bit at a loss until, you know, I leave it to Fred VanVleet to kind of perfectly encapsulate things and just like really, really tell it like it is. But the other night, I think the quote was that every night is chaos. And I saw that quote making the rounds and I loved it. But yeah. It is also extremely apt for good reasons, for bad reasons. But I think I really like this as a kind of almost as like a narrative use, but also just as like a tone setting thing for the Raptors season so far. It's certainly been unpredictable, but it makes for entertaining, very fast paced basketball. And I think at the beginning of a season, that is what you want. It is also forcing a kind of ingenuity from every player on this roster that is healthy. I think it will also bring up a kind of ingenuity from players once they get back. We saw that right away, I think, in the way Pascal Siakam has been able to step back into the active roster.
Yeah.
And I think Nick Nurse secretly loves this kind of thing because he's chaos. The one. Yes. Yes. Because he's the one leading it. Fred sounded really tired, like it was coming off a win, but I was still like, he seems so tired.
Yeah.
But yeah, because chaos does make you a little bit tired, and he is the smallest one, quote, smallest one out there most nights.
Big heart, though.
Yeah, huge heart. But all in all, I think that saying every night is chaos, it doesn't have to stay this way. Certainly, this will be a bit not such a good place to be in April.
No.
But for the beginning of the season, for a team like Toronto, where they're at right now in terms of their identity, trying to carve that out, trying to figure out how do we want to play night after night. We're not actually a team that is equipped to play the same way night after night. That's also not always a good thing. Look at what happened against the Pelicans. So I think this to me is like a first good theme.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I absolutely hear you. I mean, some of the points that in the intro I talked about, you know, it's hard to define this team, and yes, that chaos is actually chaos. A decent way to put it. They are a team built on how well they play defense each and every night. And we're going to get to some of this stuff in a moment, but if they don't play defense, you might see things like this Pelicans game. They were late on every rotation. They weren't rebounding. They were getting out-muscled. They got out-Raptors by the Pelicans. Right, because the Pelicans, and they've actually done this a couple of times. They got themselves like a lot of rangy, athletic players that can do stuff like this to Toronto if they're not coming ready to you know, put your hard hat on and get things done. And this is what happened. I'm still kind of shocked that it happened the way it unfolded the way it did, because I mean, they gave up so many points. Jeez, like the offensive rating. I'm not even sure what it was, but the Pelicans' offensive rating must have been through the roof. 73 points in the first half. What? How? And it just, but it is what it is. And for the Raptors, I mean, their offense is what it is. And I guess we may as well pivot right to that. Is one of the points that I'm looking at is that the Raptors are not hitting their corner threes this year. And that's a big problem, because we know that they are not a great offensive team. They don't finish very well at any spot on the court. Anywhere you want to look in terms of shooting accuracy, they are in the 18th to 28th range, and that's how it was last season too. But last year, at the very least, they were fifth in corner three percentage, and this season they are 28th. It was 28th going into the Pelicans game. Now they are 29th, only worse than the, or only better than the LA Lakers. So that's where they're at right now.
Yeah.
Very, very bad. Every single starter currently is shooting between 30 and 33% on corner threes. And when I say starters, I mean the traditional starters with Gary Trent Jr., Scotty Barnes, Fred, OG, and Pascal. All those guys are between 30 and 33%. Not good. The only two players who are better than that, Otto Porter Jr. and Juancho Hernangómez. two guys that are coming in for their first season with the Toronto Raptors. And Otto Porter Jr. obviously has been, like I said, a part-time player. So that has to change very drastically. Just look at it simply. The Raptors are a team that wants to, you know, drive to the rim. They want to get kickouts, and those kickouts are usually from the corner three positions. And if you're not hitting those shots, your offense is just going to be abysmal. And guess what? It's actually worse than it was last season. Their half-court offense is worse than it was last year, and they were like near last year. This year, they are last. So that definitely has to change, but there is reason to believe it will get better because they can't be any worse than they are, right, Katie?
I mean, they could be one more spot worse, I guess.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true. They could be.
I mean,
no,
I don't
could.
See
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
The bright side is they don't see that happening, considering who's occupying that spot at the moment.
Yes. The Lakers are going to stay there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, my rationale for this is like it's an extremely small sample size in terms of games played thus far. When you're watching them, the mechanics of the stat, this it kind of makes sense as to why they're not making them from there. When they are, they're usually forced way out. They've got like double teams kind of flying at them. It's never been the most comfortable spot, I'd say. Like Gary's had some pretty good luck there. OG is still probably, I think, the strongest showing from that position.
I mean, usually, but this season he hasn't been. But yeah, usually for sure.
Yeah,
he's their corner 3-point shooter.
It's not where they're like being the most generative of their offensive luck or like capabilities this season. And I get why. I have to go back to like what Nick Nurse seems to always keep honing back in on when he's kind of questioned about, you know, his players like offensive capabilities, which is that all he seems to want is for guys to get to the rim and guys to like muscle in, you know? And I think there was a comparison made when like Scottie's shooting was his 3-point shooting. It's not actually that bad, but like early in the season when he like his shots were just like, you know, waterfall falling, it felt like. Nick's criticism was that he wanted to see him up at the rim more. It wasn't really enough. He wanted to see him use his athleticism, use a physicality, you know, be more of like a physical ball dominant player. So to me, it's like, if that's what your head coach is preaching, it makes sense as to why. It doesn't make sense why the shots aren't falling when they're trying, but it's like, that's not what the priority is right now.
Sure. I wonder at what point do you decide to change things up drastically? Like Fred obviously is one of their best shooters. And with Pascal back now, you're giving OG Anunoby, who we're going to get to in a little bit. You're giving him more ball dominant responsibilities. You still have Scottie Barnes, who is a point guard forward, you know, all that kind of stuff, but he is a ball handler. And if you are going to really look at Fred as a catch and shoot savant, which he is, right? He's that kind of player. He's a terrific shooter. At what point do you just say we're going to plant him in the corner? And we just, because we need production from those positions and it's just so necessary for our offense. Do you make a switch like that? He doesn't take too many shots from that spot again, because he has had more ball dominant responsibilities so far this season. The whole story going into it was, hey, Fred's going to be doing a lot of catch and shoot. And that has happened, but injuries have played a factor. You just can't get into that kind of a role. But obviously if he was to be taking, you know, for example, five, right, shots from the corner, probably a couple of them are going to go in, right? Because he's Fred. So is that something that they look at? I'm not sure. But in the end, like, you have a vision with your offense. And if the shots just simply aren't going in because the process is good, but they aren't going in, then like you're kind of SOL at the moment. You want to get healthy. Hopefully Precious finds his form. You get Otto Porter Jr. back. I do worry a little bit about how teams are now guarding the Raptors. Like, they're really putting themselves, like, you know, box around the paint. You got one person guarding the ball handler, and it is kind of hard to, you know, get those corner threes off, right? In those positions, right? And it's some of the questions that Nick Nurse is facing is like, do you just have to change things up a little bit? Because this is how you're being guarded, and it's really hard to create offense when teams are doing this like stacked box defense against you. I'm not sure.
I don't know. It, like, the thing about Fred getting to that spot is it takes a lot for him to get there. I also don't think like he can really ever, with the way they're playing now and the way that just like the, you know, your starting lineup is formed, he can't get there. You can't afford to lose him. Like, where he's shooting from and like where his bread and butter always is just kind of beyond the arc, right?
Yeah.
These kind of pull, just like a pull up three. Like, that's what I always want to see from Fred. Cause you're like, that's going to hit. It takes so much for him to get to the corner Like he isn't as long, and he can't like eat up the floor as much as his teammates, as much as like OG or Scotty or like even Gary, who just kind of gets left alone.
Yeah.
On defense. So I don't know, like this kind of thing is always very interesting to me, because you can switch a lot up, but if the shots just aren't falling, which is honestly my sense of things right now,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't really matter what you're going to do.
It does not. It does not.
That's why they call it the beautiful game.
Just yeah. Kidding. Right. Ain't that the truth? Okay. Do you want to switch on to something? I got one that might kind of connect what we're talking about, but at the same time, yeah, if you got something.
Yeah, I mean, this will probably go into one of yours, but OG, but specifically the return of sneaky OG.
Ooh, yeah, let's go OG. Let's be positive.
Okay. Because the stealthy OG is back.
Yeah.
I love it. He's like leading the league in steals, I believe. His timing feels like about as deadpan as his mm-hmm. humor, in terms of just like interceptions and where he is yeah. at any given moment as a disruptor, as just this like stealthy, frankly scary presence for opponents.
Jaws, the shark.
Yes.
Yeah.
They should start playing the music. But then it would give away his... I mean, you could yes. do that in the replay. But yeah, you don't want there to be like an OG watch, because then it will just like all his tricks away.
Unless you do it every single time the team's on offense.
Yeah, just really scare everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Beyond that, you know, like he's finishing through contact. I think he's muscling in. Was it the Mavs game? Maybe it was the Mavs game where I think Fred got asked like, oh, is that the meanest you've ever seen OG?
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, nope. Hey, like, I want to see him be meaner.
Yeah.
So I like the kind of the physicality that he's showing, and just like, you know, straight face, like muscling up on everybody. I think it adds, like, you've got the sneaky OG and then you've got this OG, and you combine those two things together, like, you know, defensive player of the year, certainly, most improved player of the year, certainly, but like, there's just so much there. And I'm just so happy for OG. So yeah, to me, this is like a very positive development. Some mm-hmm. of it has come at the behest of a lot of his teammates having been out and him having to like pick up the slack, but like not just pick it up, but like carry the team.
Sure.
To this point.
Nice reps for him too.
Yeah, I think they've got to. I think when they kind of look at the identity, that the chaotic identity that we talked about, but also, you know, their defensive identity up to right now, certainly yeah. offensive identity up to right now in the season, a lot of that goes right back to OG. And that's he is a great athlete to lead that.
Yeah. I've always looked at the Raptors defense as controlled chaos. And I think he embodies that probably in a good way. And that he embodies that probably the best. He is, yeah, among the league leaders in loose balls recovered, deflections per game, and also steals. And just the way that he pursues the ball these days, it's really something to behold. And within his own way, I feel like every time there is a offensive possession for the other team, he just looks at them and is like, I've come for the ball.
Yes.
I've come with the ball. Yes. And I will be getting it one way or another. And it's obviously helping his offensive production too. You know, fast break points are up, points in the paint are up. He's able to get some of those like line drive, laneway drives towards the rim because of the steals that he's getting like above the break, which are really impressive. And the fact that he's doing it to like literally everybody, I mean, outside Luka Doncic, who's like a different kind of beast, but a lot of people have fell victim to just OG picking their pocket because he is just that guy right now. And whether it's like helping or roving or on ball defense, this is his thing now. And it's very cool hearing like a person like Pascal Siakam, and he's being asked, like, you know, what's the difference with OG? It's just like, it's just focus. He's always had this. This is him just accepting and embracing, you know, what he's very good at and doubling down on it. And it is helping his offensive production. Sure. I mean, there are still some like little things here and there. Like his turnovers are up quite a bit over the past, you know, 5-6 games, are up to like 4 or 5. And before, it was a lot of the turnovers were dead ball turnovers. Now they're like, you know, not so dead. They're like open floor and they're leading to transition opportunities for the other team. Part of the process, I find it interesting how they're using OG, because now that Pascal's back, he's still getting those reps as like an isolation scorer. Some of those reps, you would think, even like last night against the Pelicans, he was getting some of those reps, and Pascal Siakam is a guy who's in the corner or around the 45 and he's ready to, you know, take a jumper if the ball comes to him. Great reps for OG. Obviously, you want to see some, or sooner the better, with some of the progression from him as a scorer in that capacity and as a passer. But good reps, and it's just hard to really critique too much when he's already doing so much for the team so far this season. He's been, you know, arguably their MVP.
Yeah, and I think like the turnover thing, when the ball's in your hands more,
yeah,
and you're asked to generate the offense, that's going to happen. I think he'll definitely be able to kind of clamp down on those quickly.
Yes.
But yeah, just like seeing him as like an intuitive player on a completely different level and sort of being asked more to lead, which I think, and not to project, but like, I really do think like that must be where some of the hesitancy has come from before, because when you've got leaders around you like Fred and Pascal, you're kind of used to where you fit in the rotation. You're used to being looked to third, right? And now it's like, oh wait, you had to become the number one guy.
I mean, sometimes fourth last year with Scotty, with the way he was playing. Yeah,
exactly. And again, this goes back to what I was saying in terms of just like ingenuity. Things are going to be much more in a chaotic lineup. Things got to be fluid for things to work. So, I don't want my one little like nervous caveat of depending on how the identity shakes out or maybe fully forms up is I don't want OG to kind of lose this responsibility that he's got.
Yeah. Well, I mean, then let's make this, everything's going very fluid right now. Nothing like the Raptors, which is all complete chaos, but let's pivot right here, because obviously we saw that, you know, Gary Trent Jr. has been pivoted to the bench. Is that going to continue? I don't know. But you look at some of the numbers, and these are like, you know, kind of baseline numbers, but with the Raptors starting five, the one that we knew, right? Their offensive rating was 107.4. The defensive rating was 113.5. And they were one of the slowest teams in terms of pace with their half court offense. And you put some of these things together and you think, okay, so like, what are the things? And I talked about this with I didn't mean to do this, but Strictly Hoops, CJ Miles, listen to that, watch that, good show. And it was coming up that, you know, you look at like what you want from a starting five, and the Raptors have a lot of players who do similar things in terms of, you know, their ball stoppers. And it's good to have some ball stoppers, because those are the, you know, your point guards, your creative isolation scorers. Like, you need some of those, but you also need some guys that don't hold the ball as much. And when you're already not great at pace, when you're already one of the slower offenses, having too many guys who do the exact same thing isn't, you know, probably the best recipe for success. And for Gary, who is such a dynamic scorer, and I got to make this clear, because I don't want people to take this as, you know, I'm poo-pooing on Gary Trent Jr. He's an unbelievable scorer. We saw it yesterday against the Pelicans, but you want to tap into that as much as possible. And so why not pivot him to the bench, and he gets increased responsibilities as an offensive player when he is in the game? Maybe his minutes go down to like 26 instead of 34, but he's going to be getting like, you know, 14 shots, 15 shots. And he's being relied upon to be, you know, a creator, a scorer in those minutes. And I've always found that when Gary gets opportunities to shoot, more of them go in. You know, like all of a sudden, you know, a seven, four, I don't know, if he shoots like five shots, maybe two of them go in. But if he's taking 14 shots, there's a chance that 10 of them are going to go in, because he gets that feel and flow and rhythm for the game. And then all of a sudden they're all going in, and you are lying to yourself if you don't realize that, you know, at some points when Gary shoots one of those like ridiculous fadeaways, you're like, I thought that was going to go in, because he is that talented of a scorer. So I think this is a good move for the Raptors. Who that fifth starter is, because Scotty Barnes is going to be in there. There was some questions around that. Even I was questioning a little bit, because Nick Nurse is, you know, mad scientist, does some wacky things. But who that fifth starter is, I'm not sure what the best fit is. But I think this is a good move for the Toronto Raptors and Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it's like, it's going to test what Nick Nurse already put out there in terms of the way that he needs to see Gary be impactful on both ends of the floor. Like, he needs to see him be more of a defensive disruptor to just fit with the team identity.
Sure.
You've got him coming off the bench for that. You've got him coming off the bench to, be an offense generator. Mm. I have really liked what I've seen from Gary when he's kind of, I mean, it's weird to be like, oh, he's coming off the bench, but in a way he's been asked to take on much more of a responsibility in that role than he would have as a starter, which I think was much more one-dimensional as just like a pure shooter, hopefully pure scorer. But I like him in this role a lot better because we're already seeing the change like out of him. You know, he had a few of these like wild hustle plays, I think the other night, like running for the ball at half court, like trying to bring it back. Just like he is really trying, you know, he took it to heart. So I like it. I like him there. It's also really cool to just like have a, I mean, everybody's not like fully healthy yet, but when they are, to like have a good bench, have that depth again.
Sure.
And if you got Gary Trench and you're leading that, I don't know. I think it's a win-win. And it's not like the kind of thing where the starters aren't necessarily going to be set. Maybe there's a stretch when Gary gets to come back into that rotation. It's all good.
And also, I mean, it doesn't mean he can't finish games either.
Yes.
Right? That's important too. Who finishes the game is actually more important than probably who starts it, I would think. I mean,
certainly to like dig you out of a hole, which is what, you know, that's a problem the Raptors can usually like get themselves into. Oh, we just played a pretty sloppy third and now we're like down 10. Okay, you've got Gary and he's pretty fresh.
Exactly. So who should that fifth starter be? Who are the people that you think it's going to be rotating in between? That's the indication I get that fifth spot is going to be different players depending on the night. Last night against the Pelicans, it was Thad. And then, you know, look what Nick Nurse did. He switched it to Christian Coloco at half because Thad was dealing with Jonas Valanciunas, and that's a big ass man. Who do you think is rotating in between?
Poor Thad. Between JV and Zion. So it's a very tall assignment.
Yes.
I don't know, but like again, I don't really see it as like a deficit. I don't see that it needs to be set, you know, because you don't want to be the utilitarian team in the sense that you don't have the fluidity to change things depending on what the matchup is. I think that's never gonna be this Raptors team's identity. But I don't know. Who would you like to see there?
Well, I think in some cases, I think.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In some cases, it could be Wancho. We saw that, and I like how he fits with those other guys because the reason why I've been a little bit reluctant to take Gary Trent out of the starting group is because I think they need the shooting. And look no further than those stats that I gave you earlier about the Raptors' three-point shooting this season. They really need it. And, you know, during the offseason, when no one had anything to talk about with the Raptors, it was all about who should start, it should be Precious, yada, yada, yada. And, I mean, I could see it, but also I wanted to see if, you know, Precious is going to be able to continue to shoot the way he did at the second half of last season. And that hasn't been the case so far, but that was my worry. Is like, do you have enough shooting? Because Scotty, you know, I'll get to it in a second here, but his shooting has improved. Pascal's has as well, which is good, but it's a premium. Like you want your best shooters on the court as much as possible. And I was just worried about the Raptors half court offense if they didn't have enough of it. But defensively, obviously, I mean, there's some upside to having like a Thad there, a Precious when he returns. I could definitely see that happening. It could be a Wancho, but it could be Kemba.
It's a tough hypothetical when like you still have this many unhealthy players. You know what I mean? Because like there are even some situations where I say it's not so far flung to think Otto could be there too because of the shooting piece. But it's like we haven't even seen that yet.
Yeah. I'll give Gary one quick shout out as I bring up the stats here, because he is getting to the free throw line more. Those are things he just wasn't doing. And that's him, like, you know, looking at his, looking at the tape during the offseason and also just like learning how to take fouls and going to the rim strong. He didn't do that very much last season. That wasn't one of his like strengths, I would think, but he's learning how to do it this season. And that is a source of growth for him, which is great to see. I wish I had the numbers in front of me as we're talking about it. I'm like, should have looked that up, Amit. Damn it, Amit. Damn it. But I didn't look it up.
It's
it is what it is.
It's the chaos pod. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Who could know?
It is a chaos pod. Speaking of chaos, the Raptors are 3-8 on the road this season. That's not good. That's not good.
Is that one of your looking backs, or that's just like a
that's me killing time while I look up the free throws for Gary Trent Jr. Actually.
Great.
Just trying to fill the content need while I look these numbers up. I mean, yeah, I see it here. There's some 5 of 6, 4 of 4. I'd have to look at the past 10 games, but I mean, it is what it is. But I think it's reasonable to say that he's getting to the free throw line over the past like 10 games or so at 4 times per game. Last season, it was less than 1. Mm-hmm. That is good. Okay. Sorry, KD, I wasted your time there. My bad.
It's okay. I had to know. It was like a burning question in my mind.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Yeah, now you know. You can tell people. He's getting to the free throw line around 4.5 times over the past 10 years.
Bet you didn't know that. But
now you do. There you go, people. We'll be here all day. okay. How about we talk Christian Coloco? That could be fun.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Heading into this season, I mean,
starting the other night, that was pretty.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, like, I think it's fair to say or to give him credit that, you know, we looked at him, we thought he was going to be a project offensively, defensively, offensively, he still clearly is, but he has shown an ability to be exactly what the Raptors want him to be, which is like the defensive anchor, vertical threat. Lob threat, things of that nature. He's shown an ability to do that. And that is an awesome thing to see from a player who was a second round pick. And he's doing that in season one. When he is on the court, the Raptors are 7 points better in terms of not allowing the other teams to score the ball. That's pretty damn good. And one of their best starting lineups that they've had this season, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Gary Trent Jr., Scotty Barnes, Christian Coloco, a plus 14 net rating. That's one of the best ones that they have. Granted, 36-minute sample size, but that's still a number that has a lot to do with Christian Coloco. This is why they brought him here. Okay, this is why they thought that he could be that guy, and it's happening faster than we even thought it would. And the work that he's doing with some of the Raptors coaches, Jamal McGlure, Rico Hines, Earl Watson, they're toughening him up. They're showing him how to get things done, how to be like, you know, a great big in the NBA. Yes, he does foul a lot. I think some of that is by design because Nick Nurse tells him, I want you to try and block every single thing. Some of them are a little bit ticky-tack, and I think he's getting some of a rookie treatment by officials at times. But, I mean, just you got to love what you're seeing from him. The skills that we're seeing from him as a second-round pick when people were thinking he's going to be a G League player all season, he's showing he fits. His minutes have gone down, but still he seems like a player that could actually help this team, you know, as the season progresses as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think what started as like a fit by necessity, again, just because you've got so many guys out, has really turned into, as you say, like such a good accelerated fit. I would also say just like on the fouling thing, like look at who some of those calls are against, right? Yeah, it is a bit rookie treatment, but it also is like, okay, there's Luka Doncic. Yeah, like that's what he does. He sells those things. Yeah. So you can't really like, I feel like you can't hold his feet to the fire for something like that. But I think generally what I've actually really liked from him is his recovery from some of those things, like some of those calls. He doesn't really mope, you know, he doesn't really kind of, I don't know, like, no, I'm not even going to say who we used to see that from. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus here, but like he,
let's not do that.
Yeah, I don't want to do it. He really takes things in stride, you know, for such a young player. And I think that's probably just because he looks to the guys around him and that's what everybody else is doing. You know, this isn't a team that really has the luxury to be able to get after the refs. Like, they try, but like to be able to get after the refs when the calls don't come their way. I also think like that's always such a losing strategy, because if you're just relying on the calls coming your way, like, I don't know, what are you going to do when there's actual pressure? So
it's true.
Yeah. I think, you know, the team is obviously all the coaches you mentioned, but the team is obviously really setting him up for a long-term success here. And yeah, frankly, I am surprised he hasn't had more 9-of-5 assignments, that he has become like such a meaningful player for the parent team, but I like it. I mean, for somebody that they like, God, how long did they wait to like not guarantee his contract? Like, that was such, that was brutal. Like, yeah, you go off, have a great summer. Yeah, we drafted.
It was
you,
Kevin Durant's fault. That's what it was. It was Kevin Durant's fault.
Yes. Jeez, like they waited until like a week before the season started, it felt like. So he's making the most of it now.
I get excited about what he could be in a couple seasons. I think the Raptors, like, if everything goes according to plan, the way that we want it to go, this season, that they may feel like, you know, come trade deadline, it's like, if there is a center out there, Jakob Poeltl, who could actually is on the market and could be available to help us out for, I'm not sure how many more seasons Jakob is under contract, but whoever it is, even if it's not him, if you have, you can bring in a big man that can actually help. Because what we're seeing is that, like, yes, we're talking about Christian Coloco, but the net rating that I mentioned with that starting lineup, it's more about having that anchor big. Right, that vertical big more than anything. Christian is obviously, you know, early stages of his career, but hey, guess what? What if you bring in a guy who actually is a bit more experienced at this? Imagine what he could do with, you know, OG and Pascal and Scotty and Fred out there in front of him. And those guys are all great defenders. It's like, imagine what that looks like. That could be really interesting. So I think if anything, it actually proves the proof of concept for the Toronto Raptors that they have something here with the players that they already have in house. They could use that anchor big and Christian Coloco. You don't want to rush the process, but he's shown that he could be very impactful, and it's probably going to happen sooner than later. Just to make sure that it's completely clear, Gary Trent Jr. over his last 10 games, 5.1 free throws attempts per game. Last time.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. I don't know about like this big I'm kind of like over do we need a traditional center stuff, because because it shows it that it hasn't really mattered in some matchups. Against the Mavs the other night, you know, there was one point the Raptors had like 25 second chance points and the Mavs had like 2. And there's the Mavs are a big team, and the Raptors, like, you're big and you're long, but yes, you know, you don't have a traditional center, but like when you have Coloco out there, you have Boucher, you have Thad, like you're making up for it in different ways. I don't know. And I think also they've moved past the need for just like a posted up big. Like, this is just not how they're playing. And believe me, I miss those days of Marc Gasol. I miss the lobs, you know, and I miss like what someone like that opens up for the team. But like, they've sort of evolved past it. So not to knock Jakob, but I don't think you.
No, I hear that. I
don't
what
think
you're
you trade away someone like Coloco, who has had this burst of development in this short of a time. Given like the very minimal amount of like pressure and responsibility you've put on him. And then you don't, how do you not lose sleep at night to be like, what could he have become?
Well, now I'm not saying you trade. I'm not saying you trade Christian Coloco. By no means am I saying that. I'm just talking about the idea. I'm not sure who would be involved in some kind of transaction like that. I'm just saying, like, if they were to get interested in doing something like that, you know, getting that kind of a big, because you think that could get you over the top this season or even, you know, the season after, then maybe a person like Jakob Poeltl is around or some other big. I'm not suggesting that you trade Christian Coloco. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Maybe I missed a step or something like that. But by no means am I suggesting that you trade him, because he's cheap right now also. Cheap big is going to keep on getting better. Love it.
It's a good deal.
Yeah. But the point you made about, you know, do the Raptors need a vertical big? It is interesting. I think it would take a bit of a philosophy change on the Raptors' part, because they still are a very aggressive team on the perimeter when it comes to their defense. And that does, you know, cater to having a vertical big back there to cover up some of the mistakes that might happen. But I've also seen them be a little bit more composed this year, where they're not doing that as much. Gary Trent Jr., we talked about him. If he's not in your starting lineup, he's doing that kind of stuff off your bench. Perhaps it's not as necessary. You can do some like staggering, and or you maybe have like a some kind of player who's actually a bit more of a rim protector with a Gary Trent Jr. You play around with it a little bit. So maybe not. Maybe they don't necessarily need that. I mean, look at those Boston Celtics last year. They went pretty far, and you know, Al Horford was probably like their, I guess, their center. They do have Time Lord though, and he would have been on the court had he been healthy. So I don't know. Maybe you do need one. It's a bit of both, perhaps. But I mean, Draymond Green. How about that? Obviously, yeah, Draymond
go.
Green. Yeah,
there you
he's one of the best defensive players out there. Okay, Katie, do you have any more? Is that?
Yeah, I have two. Two. One is kind of just like a. Here's just a small asterisk. Okay.
Yeah.
To lead into my last one, but the small asterisk is I don't buy the Scotty sophomore slump. He's still shooting 41% from three, I believe. You know, if this is a slump, if this is what you consider a slump to be, then yeah. I really do question people's expectations in general, but certainly of like a second year NBA player, there has to be a point. Look back to Precious Achiuwa last season, but there has to be a point when, as a young, not just player, like person in his position, you're getting so much information on a game-to-game basis, yeah. certainly just like in your career and your profession and how you're being asked to grow. And then, you know, if everything else, there has to be a point when the brain then has to take those things and process them. And it's very hard for anybody to just do that in flow and like not have a little bit of a disruption.
Sure.
And I actually don't even think there has been that much of a disruption on the floor. When you look at all the other factors around this happening, like this is not just happening in a vacuum, right? It would be one thing if the team was totally healthy. Everything's like humming along as normal. OG's playing out of his mind. Pascal Siakam's playing out of his mind, you know, and then you had kind of Scotty not delivering. I also think there's something to be said for when you look at who's around you taking these leaps, it's difficult not to look at someone like Scotty Barnes and be like, well, why aren't you? It's like, he did. Don't have amnesia to like last season. Like he did.
Yeah.
I also think he played incredibly well at the beginning of the season to like help the team offensively get where they are. We talked about that earlier with OG doing it, but I don't buy it. I also just think like, you know, have better expectations. Yeah, because you're trying to hold him to something, right? Yeah. But that something still has to be realistic. So like, what was then the goal? If you're like, oh, he's disappointing me. What was the goal for you this season for Scotty Barnes? Right? Like, I don't know. It's difficult to even have expectations of Scotty Barnes because of what he was able to do last season. So I think it's hard to just even have like, what is a realistic expectation for Scotty Barnes, who has shown to us he's like a very unrealistic style of player, which is our great luck to have him. Okay. So rant done. Case closed on that.
Yeah.
I think probably my last thing is just looking forward. We'll look back, but we'll look forward.
And can we touch on that for a second though? Can we go back to the Barnes thing? Just cause I had a few.
Okay. Sure.
I want to add to it because I had some things written down here about him. He wasn't one of my points, my observations, but there were some things that came to mind just looking at some of the stats and this the discourse, a very trendy basketball term this in 2022, I must say. The discourse around Scotty Barnes.
For like just talking, because I also hate saying discourse. I hate it. And I know we're just adding to it, but I still hate it.
The conversations around Scotty Barnes, I think, they're a little bit misguided. Now, is he healthy? I have no idea. He does not seem to be moving the way that he normally does. Is it knee?
Yeah, there's trepidation ankle? There.
Yeah, there's something there's a reluctance with him. There isn't like this fearlessness that he usually plays with, which is what we love. So that's that. Also, last season, he won Rookie of the Year because of the amount of ways he impacted the game. It was different from any other player in the rookie draft class. This season, he is trying to do the exact same thing, in addition to being more of a ball dominant player with the ball in his hands. His assist to usage ratio is still very good, 94th percentile. His assist percentage is still very good. It's one of the best in on the team. There are some moments where we're just like, Scotty, what are you doing? Guess what? Those happened last year too. Okay, it's not different. There was a moment last night with the Pelicans game where he threw this one-handed pass to Wancho on the baseline. It bounced. It went out of bounds, and Wancho was just kind of like, he hung his head. And the fan base was just like, what the hell, Scotty? That happened last season, okay? Those things were happening. This is part of his maturation process. He wants to become Magic Johnson. He said it from the get-go. He said it during preseason. He said it on media day. Nick Nurse doubled down on it, saying they want to give him those reps. This is all this is. The reason why I'm not sure if the Raptors are using him properly is that his offensive game as a scorer has seemingly gone away. Over the past couple of games, he's taken 19 shots, 9 of them were threes. Couple games being the last two games. So 19 shots, 9 of them were threes. To your point, 40% on catch and shoot threes this season. Last season, that was 29%. That's progression. Mm-hmm. That is progression. That is very good. He doesn't seem to be getting as easy baskets this season. So the post-ups, I think the numbers are very similar, but I just don't think he's getting those scoring opportunities closer to the basket. They're more coming from the perimeter. Harder place to score. Ask Pascal Siakam. Ask OG Anunoby. Pascal got here through years of figuring this out, and now here he is. So I think his scoring is coming from different spots on the court. I think they're trying to prioritize OG Anunoby getting more opportunities, and that is coming. It's going to impact Scotty Barnes. Now you got Gary Trent Jr. He is becoming more of a point guard. I wouldn't be surprised now with the way things are shaking out. I wouldn't be surprised if his points per game went down at the end of the season, ever so slightly. The efficiency should still be there. The assists should probably go up. Rebounds should definitely go up. But perhaps we got to look at Scotty Barnes in a different lens this season because of how things are shaking out with the Toronto Raptors. If they're healthy and we see things change, cool. But right now, he's not getting the same shots he was getting last season.
Yeah, and it's so different when, like, defenses are looking for you, right? Yeah. He's, like, targeted him. Now. They know him now. So, they like, that's you got to fold that into it. So I just prefer we call it, like, growing pains instead of a slump.
Yeah.
Because the slump suggests that, like, we've ever even been here before and we haven't with him.
Sure. Okay. Kay. Back to your point. Back to your final point. Sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to make sure I got that out there too.
It's good. It's good. I was trying to end this on like a hopeful note, and I think it is.
I have one too, by the way. So we're running on two positives.
Okay. The East is still wide open.
Yes.
I think like when I look at how it looks today, right before we recorded this, every time I look, I'm like, you know, do I think it's what the top 10 or even like top five is going to look like in a month? Absolutely not. Does it mean that there's still, I think, plenty of room for the Raptors to figure out where is a realistic place for them to stick with some intention and not just be like, we landed here. We ended up here. We ended up fifth. You know, it's like, that's not the approach to take. But yes, I think there's still plenty of room and time for that to happen. I think you've got like solid identities in your more kind of traditional contenders of like the Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers. Sixers are struggling a little bit too. You've got like the Pacers, Wizards, Nets, and Hawks. They're all still figuring it out. When I look at the Cavs, I feel like right now the Cavs are a very good mirror for Toronto. I've brought this up before, but I think this is just going to keep happening just in terms of where both teams are in their like developmental strategies of trying something new, basically, and the way that they match up together. So all in all to say that the chaos isn't going to end. Sorry to anybody who's hoping things would calm down a little bit, but that is just the nature of this conference this season.
Sure.
But I think I choose to look at it as a good thing. I don't really like it when things seem so set from like 1 to 7 and then everything else is where the chaos happens and you don't pay attention to that anyway. It's not interesting.
And the NBA is just a very talented league and more than it's ever been. The talent in each on every single team is elevated. The 12th person in the rotation is better than it was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so inevitably, like, you're going to have more nights where the Pelicans do like what they did to the Toronto Raptors or the Sacramento Kings. Look, they're good now. I mean, some of those teams that are obviously going to be in those 15, 14, 13 spots in both conferences, they're just better now. That's what it is. So when Pascal Siakam, he talks about, you know, the NBA is just a very good league and you can lose on any given night. It's cliche to say, but it's also true.
Well, and it's something never we been, haven't yeah. seen, right? Like we're
yeah,
seeing
for
it.
Sure.
We're seeing it. The examples of that the most in the last few seasons, but like we got used to not seeing that for a while.
Exactly. So there's lots of time for the Toronto Raptors, but I mean, them getting healthy, them getting, you know, Pascal Siakam his win back, getting Otto Porter Jr., Precious Achiuwa. He's had a bit of an up and down start this season, but he is capable of being a huge, massively impactful player for the Toronto Raptors. He's shown it last season. If he can get to back to being that kind of form, like it does change what the Raptors could be this season. My final point, we haven't really talked about him, but because it's kind of obvious, but it's Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't he incredible?
Yeah, he's incredible. We love it.
Yeah, and I was just going to point out a few stats here that I think are notable. So last season, in isolation, he averaged 0.90 points per possession. Pretty good number, actually. That's where Giannis is this year. This season, 2022-2023, 1.04. Big ups there. Speaking of big ups, his pull-ups, 6% better on pull-ups this season. We're seeing those shots that he hits, the step-backs, the floaters, step-back, fadeaways, all this stuff on different spots on the court. Free throw line extended, baseline, it's all good. His unassisted field goals made is up 8%. Love that kind of stuff. And again, assist percentage is up 12%. We all know. We're seeing what Pascal Siakam is doing as a scorer, as a person who occupies defenses and just like ball's going over here, open man here. He is a cerebral scorer, high volume scorer, creator. He's doing all that kind of stuff. And when I like to reflect a little bit on a person like Pascal because his journey has been so cool. Mm-hmm. Every single time a person, a media member, a fan has tried to put a label on who he is, he's exceeded it. And he keeps on doing it. Love to see it.
I have notes on Pascal too. I think it's just like I get a bit trepidatious to be like, oh, he's taking another leap, but he has, again, just because of like setting realistic expectations. But I think the biggest for me of what you said, just in the way his like offensive production has changed, is that I think he's learned to flow offensively without getting frustrated. You know, when he's double teamed, he'll switch to assist. Or he moves to more of like an outside game when he's playing man to man, he finds a lot of opportunities to penetrate the paint. Like these are things that when I talked before about Scotty Barnes having to like metabolize all this information and be able to like put it together and deploy it in his game. That's Pascal Siakam is the optimum of what that looks like.
Yeah.
It's someone who can just like move through the space, let the game come to him. He's able to manipulate the game in this way that we've never seen him do it before. And he looks so comfortable and joyful doing it. I don't know what more you could want right now. It's kind of one of these things where it's like, just sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah. People laugh when he said I want to be top five in the NBA. And well, I mean, I'm not sure if he's top five, but I mean, he's pretty damn close to being in that category. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if the first all NBA team voting was happening today, you might see Pascal Siakam on there. So very cool for him. Hopefully that continues. And obviously Raptors get healthy. They start flourishing. They start stringing together some consistency because my God, the chaos has been a bit annoying, but that's how the Raptors operate. Katie, what's coming up for you?
Did you see this deep think? I mean, frankly, I hope not that much. I'm coming off a pretty crazy fall.
Yeah.
But I'll be at games when the Raptors get back into town. I'll be at games. So, you know, just keep an eye out. You can, meantime, subscribe. As you said, listen to Basketball Feelings, but that's basketballfeelings.com. You can follow me on Twitter at whatevs. Enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride. Next week, they'll be home a little bit more, I think.
Yes.
So that'll be fun. Everyone, enjoy yourselves. Stay safe during flu season because it has sucked. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.